The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
I mean, we've drawn a line in the sand and we've said, God, you had better stay on your side of the separation of church and state.
Coming up, Dr. Erwin Lutzer explores what happens when a nation forgets God.
It is possible for something to be legal and yet evil. So what you do is you use language to camouflage unbelievable evils.
Lessons we must learn from Nazi Germany. Next.
Thank you so much for giving us an opportunity to share with you on Life Today. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I are thrilled to have Dr. Erwin Lutzer with us. He was with us here a few weeks back in response to our invitation to come and talk about a book that is absolutely must reading, in my opinion, When a Nation Forgets God. And then look at the subheading, Seven Lessons We Must Learn from Nazi Germany. Dr. Lutzer is the pastor of the great Moody Church in Chicago. And I just thank God for a pastor who speaks as clearly and, yes, as prophetically and with as much love and legitimate God-given concern for our well-being as this pastor does. And his insight in what he shares is absolutely important for us to hear in the free world, not only here in the U.S., but all over the world in the free world. We need to hear the lessons that we talked about. We're going to join that program that we did with Dr. Lutzer. Would you join Betty and me in welcoming Erwin Lutzer to this special program?
So good to see you.
I'm glad to see you.
God bless you.
Dr. Lutzer, what impressed you and led you to write a book, A Nation Forgets God, but then reference Nazi Germany and some of the things that you're seeing there? What inspired you to
write
this?
I think that Nazi Germany is a good example of what happens when a nation does forget God. And as you mentioned, it's not as if we're going to start calling people Nazis. But James and Betty, by the way, it's so great to be on your show. What happens to a nation when it begins to drift away from God, there are certain cultural streams that enable it to go the direction of Nazi Germany. And so as I began to think about Nazi Germany, it dawned on me that there are some parallels. Now, parallels between America and Nazi Germany can be overdrawn. But what I have done is I have isolated those issues that contributed to the Holocaust. And also, I wrote it for another reason. I wanted to discuss the role of the church in the midst of a nation that has forgotten God. I mean, you know, you can't help but think about men like Bonhoeffer and Niemöller, who did stand against the Nazi steamroller. And so the question that we're going to be discussing tonight, which is so critical, is, all right, our nation has forgotten God, James. I mean, we've drawn a line in the sand and we've said, God, you had better stay on your side of the separation of church and state. And don't you dare come over into what we call the public sphere. Because when you do, you might end up having a lawsuit if we bring God into the public sphere. Now, the first chapter in the book discusses how did Hitler take a nation that was nominally Christian and take that public square and denude it, so to speak, so that he could establish his own agenda. And I mean, you do see parallels almost immediately. For example, the Christian holidays were reinterpreted. So for many people, Christmas became winter solstice. Easter became a spring holiday. Because what you want a nation to do is to even forget its roots, to forget its Christian background and its Christian influence. And then, of course, as we'll, I'm sure, discuss, he used various laws that would be used against the church. But James and Betty, to me, I think one of the most dramatic stories in the book, which really helps us focus tonight, is this. Hitler was getting more resistance from the pastors than he had expected. So he met with them, and he shouted at them and said, all that I want is peace. And then he said, you pastors take care of the church, and I will take care of the German people. When Martin Niemöller was about to shake hands with Hitler and say goodbye, he carefully chose his words and said, "You said that you would take care of the German people and we're to take care of the church. But we also have a responsibility to the German people, which has been given to us by God, and no one can take it from us." And you know, James and Betty, to this day, the church here in America is still struggling with its role in the wider culture. We know, of course, that we have the responsibility of preaching the Bible, and certainly all of us do that. We hope that everyone who's listening does that. But the question is this: do we have a responsibility to the wider culture? Now, there's another story in there that I think you have read, and it's affected your thinking. I received this account from someone who lived in Nazi Germany. By the way, I've actually spoken to people who lived during the Hitler era, and I can tell you stories about that. But in one of the instances, there was a church that was faithfully teaching the Word of God, and it was beside a railroad track. So they knew when the train would come by, and what they would do is they would sing songs louder as the train rattled by, because they knew that it was filled with Jews on the way to a concentration camp. So here we have the issue, and that's really our topic tonight, if I understand it. The issue is, what is the role of the church? Do we simply stay behind our stained glass ghettos, so to speak, and make sure that we are faithful to the Word in terms of teaching? Or do we, in addition to that, have a responsibility to the wider culture? And I know your heart, James and Betty, because I've watched you many, many times on television, and that is that you have a great burden for the wider culture, as do I. We have a burden tonight for the United States of America because we have lost our way.
I actually was so inspired by everything in the book, but you just referenced something that inspired me to write a commentary that I titled, "Will the Church Just Sing Louder?" I publish a commentary every week, basically on national issues, on jamesrobison.net. Now, I've often said, if you don't know, Robison has no middle end. It's not Robinson, it's Robison. I was too poor to have the middle end. I really grew up that way. So it's Robison, jamesrobison.net. But I wrote a commentary, and this was the title, "Will the Church Just Sing Louder?" And what the exact eyewitness account that you share in the book says, that they finally learned to sing loud enough that they drowned out the cries and the pleas for help.
That's right.
As the Jews were going to the death camps. They reached a point where they sang so loudly that they no longer heard the cry of humanity and the pain. Now, we would say that in America, we could never tolerate the termination of a race of people, a group of people. And yet, Dr. Lutzer, at the same time, we are tolerating, embracing, it seems, and even though the bulk of the population, the majority would say they're opposed to it, we have terminated the most innocent and helpless human lives on the planet, and that's the lives in the womb. Over 50 million lives have been terminated in the womb, and we are not batting an eye. And you point out in your book very, very pointedly how we will not even allow that to be stated as the taking of a life. We don't even want to use the true terminology. The church seems to be unable to even come together on an issue as basic as protecting innocent life. It really doesn't have as much to do as people are saying it's a woman's right. Would somebody consider the right to life of that child? And we don't even seem to allow it. Like you said, there's a line drawn in the sand. If you cross that land, that line, and you take a stand, then you could be, quote, breaking the law. So in a sense, aren't we in the church through silence or consent and not saying something, we just sing louder while we're actually doing something horrific?
You know, in the book, I have a chapter entitled The Role of Law, but the chapter's title is this: It is Possible for Something to Be Legal and Yet Evil. This is very important. You see, the reason that Hitler, he made up the laws. I have quotes there in which they say Der Führer, which is German for saying our leader, is the source of all laws. So what he did is he reclassified Jews as Untermensch, the German word is, which is subhuman. And therefore, you see, you could kill Jews without being liable. That's why at Nuremberg, when Hitler's henchmen were tried, They said to themselves, we didn't break the laws of our country. Because you see, what they did was lawful. And in America today, the taking of human life is lawful. By the way, you know the point I referenced there? It's so important, the role of language. For example, you're right. Politicians never say, I believe in a woman's right to choose to kill her preborn infant.
No, they won't say that.
They will never say that. What they will say is, I believe in a woman's right to choose. Now, everybody can fill in the blanks. But why don't you finish the sentence? Because, James and Betty, there is something in the human heart that when they stop to think about it, they can't really accept what they are saying, that you have the right to kill your preborn infant. And so it's just the woman's right to choose. This is the role of language. You know, propaganda, which I discuss. For example, you have Hitler. He never killed Jews. He called it the cleansing of the land. And when he wanted to starve children, he called it putting them on a low-calorie diet. So what you do is you use language to camouflage unbelievable evils. And we can have the very same thing happening in America today, and that shows you that when a nation forgets God and those absolutes and that responsibility to God is gone, anything becomes possible. Could I give you one more example? The role of law. We were talking about it a moment ago. If I say that I make my own laws, I'm my own God. If the Supreme Court of the United States says that there is no law above it to which it is subject, and of course the law of Moses no longer applies, we've taken care of that because of the separation of church and state, in effect the court becomes God. And that's why I quote one writer who says, show me your laws and I will show you your God. Mm-hmm. And while we're talking about the Supreme Court, isn't it tragic to think that many of the founding fathers, they would never be approved today to sit on the Supreme Court? I mean, the very fact that most of them were Christians, they believed in the Bible, they believed in absolutes, I mean, they'd be immediately disqualified because they'd be bringing their religion into the legal process, and that, of course, is forbidden. So when you stop to think of it, it's as if the sock comes unraveled. You take God and you put him away, and you say we will be subject only to the laws of men. There are certain inevitable things that boomerang in society, and that's exactly what we're seeing in America today.
I'm wondering, as you sit here and listen to, by the way, do you appreciate a brilliant man who has worked very hard to simply deliver truth? Would you say thank you to Dr. Lisa? I do thank you. I thank you for the devotion to people, first to God, but to people, to work, to study, to write. And you are a truly gifted writer. If all of our viewers couldn't find this in the bookstore, you're on the radio every day. What's the title of the program?
You've got Running to Win.
Running to Win. If someone said, I would like to go online, Dr. Lutzer, and I'd like to order the book, if I couldn't find it, how could I go on? What would they go? Where would they go to get it? Would they go to Moody Church?
Oh, yes, and of course they can go to Amazon and so forth, or they can simply order it by going to our website, moodychurch.org.
I really recommend you get it. I don't really have time to waste. I told you I read a lot, study a lot, I pray a lot. I pray about what I read. I pray over what I read. I try to pass it on. I'm not going to recommend something that's not meaningful, not only to you, but to everybody you can possibly in any way have a profound and positive impact on. Betty, what were you going to ask or say? Do you remember?
You know, I'm sitting here listening, and I'm not a theologian. I'm not a lawyer. I haven't had a lot of education. But I'm sitting here thinking, I do know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I made that choice to accept him into my life. And when I did that, he didn't take my freedom of choosing away from me. He didn't rob me of that. But at the same time, with that acceptance of him in my life, I have a responsibility as a Christian, as a wife, as a mother, as a grandmother. And I care about what happens in the future to our country and the church. And as you were using that illustration about them singing louder, that broke my heart. because I thought we are becoming passive. They made the choice to sing louder, to ignore the cries of help.
Betty, I want to tell you that Hitler was confronted with the fact that he had all of these soldiers, most of whom had a nominal Christian upbringing. And the question was, how does he deaden their conscience? It was very important that their consciences be dead so that they could commit atrocities without feeling guilt. And he had certain programs, especially for Hitler's youth and others, where they would do that. First of all, they would do something despicable. Perhaps they would kill their own pets and so forth. And what he wanted to do is to create hardened people who would not be affected by human sympathy. I mean, I'm looking into your eyes right now, Betty, and I see your tears just thinking about it. Well, that would not do in a state that has forgotten God. You can't shed tears. So what Hitler did is he tried to deaden the conscience of these people. And you know, he succeeded. And there's something else, too. This gets into the whole issue of propaganda, which is another chapter in the book. Hitler believed this, that if he could create what I call a cultural stream, that's not his language, it's mine, that he could create such euphoria for certain ideas that everybody would accept them. So that if you went to Nuremberg, where the big rallies were held, and there were 100,000 people, Hitler says, all chanting the same thing, and you disagreed, A, you would either remain silent or you would convert. But one thing you would not do is to stand against this cultural stream. You see, there were some soldiers who had to commit these atrocities, and they didn't want to. But the problem was they were part of a regime, they were part of this euphoric cultural stream, and they couldn't stand against it. And James and Betty, one of the things that we really need today, and I plead with everyone who's listening to us today, we need Christians with courage. Mm. Christians who are going to say, students in school. You know, I read recently a man in our university saying that Christians who give up their faith in university often don't do it because of the because the arguments that are presented against Christianity. They do it because of the pressure, political correctness, and so forth, to stay within the groove. And what we need to do is to say to those who are listening today, have the courage of your convictions with God's help, and do not be caught up with these cultural currents that are leading us astray.
I pray with all my heart that you caught the full impact of what Dr. Lutzer was sharing, what Betty and I shared. It is my earnest prayer that as believers, as the church, as people of the kingdom, where the kingdom of heaven at hand, present, the weight, the imprint, the power, and the influence of God's presence and His truth resting on us so that it makes an imprint on everything in the world. It releases a power that affects every power base. We mustn't just sing louder. We mustn't just go to church. We must be the church. We come together in fellowship, but we go out and release literally the impact of God's truth, demonstrating our lives and in the way we're involved. Right now, Betty, we are doing something that, I mean, it's really troubling because of what we see in the area of need, but we are trying to rescue precious children from sex trafficking. It's hard to believe that children could ever be trafficked.
I don't even
like
to think about things like that happening to precious children that are innocent and then really taken into captivity with this trade.
Well, and they're used by people who are themselves trapped in bondage, but we can release these precious children through the power of love. I want to mention also that if you make a gift to help us rescue those precious children, you'd like to have Dr. Lutzer's book, When a Nation Forgets God, I really encourage you to ask for it, and I pray that you'll read it. You're going to see tremendous need that God's love through you can meet. This is not something we turn away from. This is where we look and don't just sing louder, but we release the love of God, not in word only, but in deed. Watch this.
chôn mong lọc mày là về dân trong niềm chia bong thông rốt cư dân anh chia ở con trai vào dân cái chạp này đi nè nó dọc tới rung lộp này thì điên tên tên đã nhận thêm.
Actually she, the old lady tricked her to be in the room and then let the man rape her and then sold her, you know, to other men one after another and never gave her money.
Nhóm cũng miền chất tôn gặp trầy đại nhóm trục rộng lại. Sân sân chia kê rộng áo nhóm anh bụi có đẹp hợp liêng.
At that time, she feel like so disgraced on herself that she was sold. And then when she was beaten all the time, she would think that it's better for her to be killed.
They beat them
and then locked in the room.
Locked in the room.
Yeah.
And they also put a spike in her leg.
A spike? What, like a metal railroad spike? They put that into your leg? And here she is. She's caught in this trap. And she doesn't see any way out. People have owned her and forced her to perform many sexual acts. 10 men a day. You can look at her face and tell she doesn't want to do this. She hates it. She hates what she has to do again and again and again. I want to stop it.
Well, Jeannie Rogers, along with the mission teams, can want to stop it, but they can't stop it without your help. And your help, people like you, rescued that beautiful girl. Here she is right now. These pictures were just sent to us. They're training her in a trade so that she can learn how to make a living in the right way because she's experienced life. And we're helping her in the life center that love shared through people like you built, and it's an absolutely beautiful place. Now, our mission team led that pimp, that man that was talking about how he could use a knife and control him and how he knew what he was doing, and just talking casually, just like he's talking about dirt. But they led him to Christ. They led him to the Lord. The man's life was changed there on the street by the power of God and the power of love. Now, Betty, what we're asking our viewers to do is to help us rescue more girls like that. Literally thousands of children that we can get who are going to be sold into the sex trade because they go into the impoverished areas and out into the rural areas and they convince the parents that they're going to take these children and they're going to teach them a job. And they'll even give them money. So we watched, you and I went there and we saw children that had been bought with a radio. The family got a radio or maybe a portable television, just some kind of electronic device, and they got the child. I'm telling you, right now, we can save those children's lives, thousands of them. Do you know what it costs to rescue a child? It costs $128. The life center that's established there was by people selling everything they had who lived in California and served the motion picture industry, Hollywood. And they just sold out and said, oh, God wants us to go over here and rescue these children. And they left everything. They're there, and we've built the Life Center there in Thailand, and we're building others in other areas, in Cambodia and other places in Asia. When I say we, I'm talking about us together. But we've broken out the cost to rescue a child. It's $128. Here's what I'd like you to do. If you can help us rescue a child, dial the telephone number. It is truly a lifeline, always a prayer line for you, always. But you dial the number, take your bank card, use it like a check, or write a check, make it to life. That's what you're doing. You're rescuing lives. Or you can go online, lifetoday.org. If there's any way that you could help us rescue 10 children, think about this, $1,280, we can give life and hope to people in desperate situations. Would you help us do that? Would you help us maintain those incredible outreaches and even expand them? You are the source. You are the release of God's love. You are the enablers for those missionaries and those precious people that God has put in place to literally help express God's love. Would you enable them to do it? Please make the call God put on your heart and make the gift. Would you do that right now? Thank you so much. We have some gifts to bless you and to say thank you. Thank you for helping rescue these precious lives.
human trafficking. It's hard to believe it's happening. But at this very moment, innocent children, many very young, are being sold and forced into sexual slavery and exploited in every way imaginable. And someone must save them. With your support of Mission Rescue Life, you can help rescue more than 5,000 children from the horrors of the sex trade in parts of Thailand, India, Cambodia, and other targeted nations. Together, we can reach vulnerable families and children by providing much-needed food and relief. We can rescue those already ensnared by offering them a way out, and we can restore their hearts, minds, and bodies to enable them to enjoy life as God intended. Your gift today of only $128 will help rescue a child and change their life forever. And with gifts of $64 or $32, we will combine your gifts with others to help rescue one more child from the shame and pain of this lifestyle. As our way of saying thank you, please request The Butterfly Effect, How Your Life Matters. The story of this book reveals how you were specially created by God to make a difference and have the power to change the world. As a special challenge, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,280 to help rescue 10 children. With your gift, be sure to request Heart of the Father, our beautiful new bronze sculpture that demonstrates God's fatherly love for us as His children. Call, write, or make your gift online today.
Well, Betty and I thank you so much for your help. I want to mention also that if you make a gift to help us rescue those precious children, you'd like to have Dr. Lutzer's book, When a Nation Forgets God, I really encourage you to ask for it. And I pray that you'll read it. And we'll also send you the Butterfly Effect, because it really is all of us coming together, where we release a mighty wave of God's power, transforming power. And we want to learn the lessons that Dr. Lutzer shared. Thank you so much for giving us this opportunity, and thank all of you for being here with us. Encourage your friends to watch Life Today.
This is an amazing story, and I wish the whole world could know this story.
Tomorrow, best-selling author Eric Metaxas encourages us to not repeat the mistakes of the past. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.